Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 8 of No Spin Rodeo. We thank you for joining us. It's post-Turkey Day. My innards are still processing a variety of piled up food. Very blessed for Thanksgiving. Of course, our No Spin cast. I'm joined by the smartest guy that I know, Greg Teagarden with Piranha Productions. And, of course, the first lady of rodeo journalism, Miss Kendra Santos. Good, happy after Thanksgiving, everybody. How was your last little bit?
Oh, I'm still stuffed. We cook so much food. I don't know if you guys do, but we cook way too much food. We had turkey, ham, unbelievable.
What about you, Kendra? Did you have a big meal, or did you eat spam?
I'm 3 weeks away from returning 1 year ago from the NFR to a house flood. And so I'm still living on a concrete foundation in a gutted house. And so, like, if it looks like I was born in a barn and I'm living in a horse trailer, it's because, well, I was kind of like born in a barn, like when my dad was a vet school, born at home, whatever, but I am living in my son Lane's horse trailer, and I think I'm being a pretty good sport, and we're rodeoing. But I have had a super cool few days on the heels of the most extraordinary road trip. On a personal note of my rodeo family, like, my son Taylor just got engaged, and so that was super exciting, and he proposed. I'm going to have to get a little more detail, but he FaceTimed me and it was perfect because I was with his brother Lane, his wife Jane, and their baby Charlie. And so the four of us got the news at the same time. He's engaged to Jordan Tierney, who's the daughter of Hall of Fame tie-in inventor Paul Tierney and his wife Robin. So they went for Thanksgiving to South Dakota, where Jordan's from. They had gone, is it axe throwing? You throw axes at ice or something? And then they were like by the skating rink or something. Anyway, Taylor took a knee. Jordan said yes. And it's fun. Jordan, for those of you who don't know, she was Miss Rodeo America in 2020. COVID hit. So then they shut everything down. So she was Miss Rodeo America 2021 also. Taylor's first steer roping finals. He wins round 10. And there's a photo of the buckle presentation. And way off at the end is Miss Rodeo America, Jordan Tierney. And the Christmas card company cut her out of our picture because it wouldn't fit the format of this size. And so now, 2 years later, she's going to be my daughter-in-law. Anyway, we're thrilled. They're thrilled. They're so happy. And we're so happy for them. And then last night, after this big road trip, there's this roping I've never gotten to go to because I'm always gone, called the Average Joe. And this year it was held at Madonna Inn in San Luis Obispo. And they set up an NFR Dimension Arena and go at it. And guys like who've roped at the finals, like Dugan Kelly and Spencer Mitchell and different people are there. But my son Lane won that last night. And it was really fun because I got to go for the first time. And then he won that. That was fun personally. Anyway, what about you, Tommy Joe? Did you get moved into your new house?
We had Thanksgiving in the new house. I don't know how we did it, but 2 26-foot WW gooseneck loads of boxes. So here's what I don't understand. We lived in an RV for 18 months and did perfectly fine with the amount of crap that fits in an RV. I don't recall ever needing anything. And then I moved 56 feet of WW goosenecks worth of cardboard boxes of crap that evidently we need. Anyway, we got it all put out and we had family, just family over, both my boys, my grandson, Anthony, and Lisa. And I smoked a turkey and a ham. I did the turkey a new way. I cut out the backbone, which, by the way, is really cool. It worked really good. And the food was fantastic. And we ate and we watched the Dallas Cowboys, which is what we do. And then it's good to know that everybody's getting old like me, because about 7:30, the party was over. Everybody was looking to get home and get to bed, which worked out perfect for me. So very blessed. It was a fantastic Thanksgiving.
That's awesome. And it was fun for me to just have met my grandbaby Charlie girl. She got to meet your grandson Asher in Mulvane, Kansas, and that was pretty fun. So
it was. You sending me pictures of those two was just fantastic. Now, you said this whirlwind trip, you've texted Greg and I about this whirlwind trip. Would you please, because I know you posted this, but would you walk our guests here on No Spin through your whirlwind tour? And by the way, congrats. I mean, you know, just so you know, I didn't post anything congratulating you, but on the record, I liked everything that everybody posted. Like, I liked them all. So I think that's worth something. So tell me, where all did you go?
Okay, so this craziness. So it started with me flying to Wichita by way of Denver. And Oates always, whenever people say, what have you been doing, Oates? He's always saying, just driving Miss Daisy. So Oates picks me up in Wichita and we drive, I think it was another 9 or 10 hours, to Fort Pierce, South Dakota, home of Casey Tibbs. Where at the Casey Tibbs Rodeo Center, Oates' family, the Berry family, was inducted as the ranching family this year. That was really cool. Oates is their Buster and Mary Lou had 6 kids, and Oates the caboose. He's the baby. And so all 6 kids and their families, we all got together, and I know their parents would have been so proud. So that was really cool, and in the home of Casey Tibbs. So then I was like, all right, we're rodeoing. Because then we drove all night and most of the next day to get to Fort Worth for the world premiere of the Lane Frost documentary. And getting to be there, it was so worth the effort to be there with Clyde and Elsie, Tuff, you know, cousin Josh Frost, Kelly Macy, who's now married to my dear NFR team ripper friend, Mike Macy. Like, I'm so happy that we, you know, did the all-nighter, because that was special to be there. And it was cool. Like, here we had just taken a picture in front of the statue at the Casey Tibbs Center of Clint Johnson. And then sitting kind of right over to our right was Janie Johnson, Clint's daughter. When we get to Fort Worth, you know, it was just, there's always the rodeo family saying is just always shows up. And it was really, having lived that with Lane and Tuff, I'm so happy that we made that effort and got there. And it was special. And they reserved in the middle of the seating, there was a seat reserved for Lane. That was special. Oh, I thought, cool, you know. Anyway, so then after that, it was on to Oklahoma City, where I had Rodeo Historical Society board meeting. And they did just elect me vice president, which means I will serve for 2 years under Kelly Riley. Just handed the presidential gavel off to bullfighter Rob Smets, who will be president the next 2 years. And so that's cool. It was very special. Okay, there was the board meeting, and then also the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum inductions, which is a spectacular event. And it was really cool to me to be there after watching Jim Rodriguez Jr. rope my whole life and having known his dad when I was a little kid. He was inducted, long overdue, but as with everything, better late than never. 4-time world champion team roper, 4-time NFR average champion, 21 NFRs. To this day, the youngest world champion cowboy in the history of our sport at 18. In 1959, he won his first title when he was 18, just a kid. And he's 82 now, and to be there to see something like that was so cool. And my favorite thing that he told me about was the time he was the team repping director way back when team repping wasn't included in so many rodeos. And he was the event rep, the director, when he got team roping to be made standard in the 7 Western states. And he had to give up some concessions. Basically, the team ropers were roping for a quarter of the pay. But the coolest story that I've never heard before that he told me this time was when that all first happened and team roping started to be included at the rodeo in Myrtle Point, Oregon, they show up, they had just driven all night and they had muleys to team rope and they strapped bicycle handlebars to the top of the heads of the muleys and they team roped bicycle handlebars. Now that's cool. And he's like, I've never seen anything else like it, but there we were, and that's what we roped. So that's pretty fun. And I love hearing stuff like that. And so then the next meeting, straight from the one board meeting, was to the Hands Rodeo Women annual meeting. And before she passed, Donna McSpadden handed the gavel on being president of that to me, which is a great honor. That group, which basically we lift rodeo people in the rodeo family up that need it. And I'm really proud. I've been a hand since they started it, and it was started by June Ivory, Liz Kessler, Sharon Shoulders, Donna McSpadden. And they brought me on and they called me kid. And I'm really proud to carry on that tradition. And it's a cool thing. And, you know, people like Reba McIntyre are original hands also. And it's just a personal, it makes us feel good to help people. So there's that. From Oklahoma City, it was back to Fort Worth for the National Cowgirl Hall of Fame inductions. For everyone who knows that I live on iced tea, the first thing Oat and I did when we got back to town was pick up my son Lane, his wife Jane, and their baby Charlie, who was on her first plane ride. And we went to dinner, and then we went to the Side Saddle Saloon in the Stockyards, where there's a new cocktail on the menu called the Kendra Santos.
I saw that.
And that is so funny that. Because for the people who call me Mary Poppins, but La Pulga Blanco Tequila, illegal Mezcal Reposado, whatever that is, St. Germain Luxardo Maraschino, lemon and apple syrup. And it's on the menu right above the Beth Dutton. So this is all so funny for the girl who follows the rules, right? It was kind of a hoot. And so then...
Is it a sweet drink?
It is a sweet drink? It is kind of sweet. And I did taste it, and tequila and I are not friends. So I tasted it, and I totally appreciated Lay and Jane being sports and insisting that we go get the, you know, the Kendra samples. It was pretty funny. But anyway, so then on to the National Cowgirl Hall of Fame inductions. That was the most humbling, overwhelming situation. I had no idea what a big deal that was. It was incredible. The actual inductions were held at sold out arena floor at Dickey's Arena, where the Fort Worth Stock Show is held. It was wall to wall tables and beautiful, fashionable women. And the first thing, you know, they do a video before they introduce you up on the stage for you to speak. And I'm like, here's all these women. Like, the person introduced right before me is Lainey Wilson, who was just the entertainer of the year on the CMAs, right? And she wears 3 different outfits a day. And I realized they put it up there that like 10 years ago, I'm standing up there so proud of the jacket that's a timeless classic. And of all outfits, oh, shoot, that's the one I wore on the... last on the video they chose to use. So I was like, a fashion posse never picks me for, you know, their poster girl, because I guess I'm a fashion fail, plain Jane, whatever, but typical Kendra. But the people that showed up for me is like, you know, to have my sons and my family and Trevor and Chetta Brazil and Tuff Hedeman and, you know, Maureen Freeman. Tandy had surgery, but, you know, Maureen and my goddaughter, Shannon Jones, who's the daughter and granddaughter of Hall of Famers John W. Jones. Well, her last name's Markham now, but like, it was so cool to me, rodeo family stuff, because Shannon has a new baby, Vivian, who got to meet my granddaughter, Charlie, and their grandfathers were the very best of friends. And so here they are, lifelong friends. You know, it's just how our rodeo family goes. Anyway, from Fort Worth, it was on to Kansas for the national final steer roping to watch my son Taylor rope. And I love that event. It's super cool. A big honor for me was being asked by Darwin McGowan to present the Dixon McGowan Memorial Award to Rhea Losey, who's the highest ranked first-time qualifier. And it's presented in memory of Dixon McGowan, who was Darwin's son, who we lost, I think it was May 10th, 1997. He was 23. It was the day he graduated from college. He fell asleep at the wheel, and he was ranked seventh in the world steer roping standings at the time. It's a cool award. By all accounts, Dixon was a very talented and amazing young man. And two of his mentors were Arnold Feltz and Guy Allen. And Guy, the legend Allen, 18-time world champ, and Guy helped me present that to Rhea Losey. So that was cool. I don't know. It goes the steer roping, just to cap the steer roping, how that went. Cole Patterson won his second world title. He's 28. His dad, Rocky, who's a four-time world champ, won his third steer roping finals average. A father and son have never pulled off that little feat before. Rocky Patterson's 58 years old. So, you know, if that's not cool, like, he took it to him, and that's cool. We had a blast, and I made it home, and now I'm back to living in a horse shed. So, for another week, and then it's NFR time, so.
Well, huge congratulations.
Thank you.
Well-deserved. Not much to be said, but when respect is due, it should be given, and it has, and we're very happy to be able to do this with you every couple of weeks, because the world respects you, and so do we. So very big congratulations to you.
Thank you very, very much. I appreciate it.
Well, I've got in a little bit of rodeo news. The only thing that, because that was really rodeo news, your tour of the center of the country, and receiving. I mean, you're going to need you better build a pretty big cabinet in your house there. But anyway, I did hear of a passing of someone that I've known for a while, and his name was Ron Craver. And I don't know how many of our listeners will know Ron Craver. He was in an auto accident where in I think it was Schuyler, Missouri, where a 19-year-old hit him head on and killed him. And Big Ron Craver, I called him Big Ron. He was 63 from Bloomfield, Iowa. And Ron was a kind of the old school bullfighters. Some of our listeners will remember it was irony. But when I was young, the bullfighters were huge. George Doak, Cajun Kid. These guys were like, this would be like steer wrestlers of today were bullfighters. And it wasn't as if they flew around the bulls like the younger guys do today and never got touched. They actually just got beat. But they took the beating instead of the guy on the ground.
And
manhandled the bulls.
Wilbur Plogger was a steer wrestler and a bullfighter, and he was very tall.
Yeah, that's true. Wilbur hit the ball into the stands more than I think he saved cowboys. But still, big man, I agree. He had this big round ball that he would hit in the stands usually when a really mean bull was coming out.
He had the Wilbur Weezer also.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
But so Big Ron, real quick question, really quick story about Big Ron. Huge man, fought bulls at Mesquite, loved animals, very kind person. But just imagine just this huge man. And the one story that I'll share of Ron in memory is my very first PBR was in Laughlin, Nevada for Jerome Robinson. Jerome went to Brazil to do Tour de Modelo or something, right? Some stuff that Jerome Robinson used to do in these other countries where they would do these rodeos, PBRs. So he was gone and he called me, and it was my first chance to produce a PBR event. And I went to Laughlin, Nevada. And if you ever went to the Laughlin PBR, it literally started in the desert. Like, there was nothing there. Like, and when I mean nothing, not a light pole, not water, only scorpions and giant bugs and a lot of heat. And so we're starting to set up, and I'm a little overwhelmed because Jerome said, you know what you're doing, just go do it. So this crew shows up, and on the cruise, Big Ron Craver, and we start setting up the arenas. And if you don't know what this is, some of you might, little test, RASP16. That's a Preferred Model Number for a panel. RASP16. 16 is a little indication here. It's a 16-foot long panel that's usually used in rope and boxes. It weighs about 167 pounds. And there's a handful of, if you've ever set up an arena like I have, and Dave Pickering and Matt Noble and all my friends that are experts, Ted Growney, that 16, that's a two-man panel, okay, like a gate. You don't carry the 16 by yourself. I said, we need to move that 16 and put it over in that corner. And Big Ron Craver goes over, and I'm watching him walk over. He grabs this 16-foot. Now, this isn't the lightweight panels. These are rough stock panels, so they're 16-gauge tubing made by Prefert. And by the way, Prefert stuff is so much heavier than everything else's, which is why it lasts. He lifts this 16-foot panel over his head and walks 600 feet, sets the panel down, and then, and we're all just standing there watching him, like, oh my God. Then, if you've ever pinned a panel, so you know you got pins on the post, you got to put the panel and you pin the bottom pin first if you're smart. You lift it up and pin. He pinned this 16-foot panel himself. And those of you that have done it know what I'm talking about and know the amount of strength that this human had, but he was just one of those bears that was really sweet, good man. Sorry to hear about his passing, but hats off to Big Ron Craver, a friend of mine, and will always be remembered. So we're going to miss Big Ron.
Yeah, that's untimely. Sad. Yeah, that is sad. And I have, when I was the PBR's editor in chief, there was the most memorable. We went from Charlie Horky's house in Las Vegas in a limousine. I was with Tuff Hedeman and Owen Washburn, and we went from Las Vegas to Laughlin in a limousine. One unnamed world champion PBR bull rider, not named so far. We have to keep pulling over so that poor person could fertilize the desert. And I've never seen it before where the judges had to tell someone that they were not allowed to ride because they were unfit. But anyway, that was memorable.
I remember that. The interesting thing is, again, we're getting off track here, but the drive from Las Vegas to Laughlin goes through, I think it's Searchlight. It's the mobile home community, right, where it's all mobile homes, including the town hall, which just cracks me up. The town hall is a single wide right there in, I think it's Searchlight, but that drive across there. But I do remember one certain person not being able to ride in Laughlin because I almost was physically accosted when that conversation was had. So we'll move on.
Okay, moving on. I want to pin you before we move past news. I want to pin you down, put you in the corner where I had you a couple weeks ago. Is there any movement on when I cornered you the first time about contestants' families getting some sort of preferential seating or access treatment on back number night at the NFR?
Yes, there is. We did take that idea to the PRCA and it has been approved. Now, some things to quickly cover on that. Remember, the reception is standing room, right? There's not tables, it's standing room. And I think it's a credit to the changes in the production. That thing sold out in 17 minutes and the awards banquet sold out in 9 minutes. That's pretty amazing that people are enjoying the shows. So remember that the reception is standing room only, and we have a runway in the new design where the groups of contestants and groups go up this runway and walk to the stage. So what has been approved is on one side of the runway, we're going to section off a 30-by-4-foot area. When, for instance, the bareback riders go up, when the bareback rider checks in, he'll be able to give his wife and a child, if they're carrying a child, but we have room for basically one person, right, to get in that area. And they'll come in when the bareback riders come in, those bareback riding significant others or whoever they want. The one person can stand there, take pictures, high five them, and then we'll ask them to graciously leave so the next group, because there's just not enough room to put 15 times 9 or 8 in that area. And so, but that's how it'll work. When the Cowboys check in, you know, for the back number ceremony, they'll get given a, I believe it's going to be a wristband from the PRCA, and then the security staff will let those people in, and so that they can be right on the runway. So when their significant other comes by, they can take a picture, they can hold up their child, they can do whatever they wanted. We'll just ask for them to shuffle through so everybody gets their shot. So good idea, and congrats to the PRCA for allowing us to make that happen. We think that's special for the families.
Thank you.
It's cool.
Thank you.
Good idea. It was a good idea, and we're glad we're doing it. Okay, well, we're going to keep moving on. We have an action-packed show. This is going to be one of the longer no spins, but you should hang in there with us. This is a good one. I wanted to take a minute to address feedback real quick before we move on and get into point of view. I need to stand corrected. The 940 texted, Wade Garrett is from the Ute Stampede in Nephi, Utah, not Lehi. Nephi is the home of the Ute Stampede. Congrats to Wade Garrett. And so I wanted to make that correction. Thanks to our no spinner for, I actually think I know who this one is, even from the area code. That's a correction. My apologies for that. Then another quick one that I'll just answer real quickly. It says, hello, why is a re-ride not available for Cowboys if they get a yellow flag for missing their horse out? Why wouldn't they get a re-ride? Well, it's part of the rule book. The Cowboys have to have their feet up. It's an advantage to the horse that they have their feet up. So it wouldn't be a re-ride, because a re-ride is granted because the animal did something wrong or a foul. This is because the Cowboy didn't meet the criteria to get a score. So that's why they wouldn't get a re-ride in that situation. They have to have their feet up there to give the horse the benefit of getting their feet under them before they can start spurring. So a re-ride probably wouldn't be in order on the markout rule. Next from the 403, and they're talking about me here, so a little criticism from the 403 says, why does basically Tommy Joe refer to the NFR as the Super Bowl of rodeo? As big as the NFR has become, it hardly needs to be mentioned in this fashion. I apologize if that bothers you, but for me, the greatest achievement in sport, besides maybe the Olympics, but one of them is the Super Bowl. And for me, if you're in the NFR, that is the biggest stage. And for most people to understand the depth and breadth of the NFR, Super Bowl is a good descriptive for me.
I use it.
Sorry if you don't like it. I sure don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, but we're making new rodeo fans every day, in part because of, you know, things like the Cowboy Channel and the internet. And that is a very easy and relatable comparison for people to understand. I mean, it's like saying the PRCA is the NFL or Major League Baseball, the NBA of rodeo. It's the same comparison, and I think it's legit. And to each his own, but that's my personal opinion.
Well, I'll try not to use it as much, but I still think it's accurate and fitting. So if I offended you or you don't like that, I'm sorry, but I'll probably do it again. The last one, which is a good one, I love this podcast. I feel like it's the most factual way to keep up with the pro rodeo world. So we thank you for giving us positive feedback too. And we want to remind everybody to be sure and be a part of communicating with us. You can text us. All we get is your area code. We don't know who you are, at 817-668-2395. Once again, that's 817-668-2395. Or shoot us an email at nospinfeedback@gmail.com. Okay, so big day. Boy, the last week, you know, we kind of touched on this for point of view. We've talked about this some episodes ago. Remember the 16th bull rider at the NFR, and we talked about, you know, being 16th and getting in, and then Casey Fields news broke with us, which we're very honored to have that as a part of that conversation. And the last week has been a whole unraveling of the same conversation with rodeos counting. That even goes back to say all these things. So Kendra, can you, for all of our fans who maybe are not as in depth with what has happened in the last week, literally, can you catch us up on the controversy with the team roping and number 16?
I can, and I'll try to boil it down as succinctly as I can. As senior editor of the Team Mapping Journal, I did break the story a week ago today, which November 20th. I had a number of very, very strong sources. So the basics is that 17th ranked Colby Payne, a healer, filed a grievance. His grievance was that someone at the PRCA had given him an incorrect rodeo count. He filed a grievance when he was finished the season ranked 17th, saying, you know, they gave me bad information. So in essence, the governor's cut, the $1 million cinch playoffs in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, was his 76th rodeo officially. And on November 20th, the PRCA grievance committee ruled in Colby Payne's favor that because the PRCA had told him his count that Sioux Falls would be number 75, that he could count 76 rodeos, which him being able to count the money won at Sioux Falls put him up into the top 15 and took 15th place healer Tyler Worley, who went to 74 rodeos because he was holding back that 75th bullet for Sioux Falls in case he made it, which he did not. The original ruling on November 20th bumped Payne in, Worley up. Now today, November 27th, that same grievance committee with legal representatives from both of these contestants and officials from the PRCA reconvened, and I'm not sure if the right way to say it is reversed this decision. Bottom line is that as of today, and my understanding is that this will stand as final, Tyler Worley is in. Colby Payne is not allowed to count an additional 76th rodeo. And so Tyler Worley is in. Our field is set. Tyler Worley will heal for Jake Clay, and Colby Payne will not be competing at the NFR.
I think the best thing to do, and we're fortunate on our podcast to have join us from the PRCA, the CEO, Tom Glaus. We're able to get Tom's take and how this all went down, understand it through the eyeglasses of the PRCAs. I'm beyond gracious to have Mr. Tom Glaus join us on No Spin Rodeo. I can't imagine being in a position that Tom's in and still keeping a smile on his face and doing the things that he's done. And I just want to say thank you for joining us. We're honored to have you. And we think it's fantastic that the PRCA, and you lead by example, is willing to kind of talk to us about some of the stuff going on. Because everybody just kind of wants to understand the points of view of everybody and kind of what went down. So thanks for joining us, Tom.
Well, thank you for having me, Tommy Joe and Kendra. Good to see both of you.
Good to see you too. The floor is basically yours, Tom, but I think to open with just the basic facts that this story broke 1 week ago today on November 20th with the PRCA Grievance Committee's ruling. And then today on November 27th, there was a reversal by the same grievance committee. But to back up, most people do not understand how the process works. Would you be willing to explain that?
Let's first start by talking about the grievance process. And essentially, any member who has been aggrieved or feels they've been grieved can file a grievance regarding certain matters with the PRCA. It's a three-step process. And the first process, the grievant can write a letter to the Director of Rodeo Administration, and the Director of Rodeo Admin rules on that grievance. If the member's not satisfied with the result or the decision from the Rodeo Director of Rodeo Admin, they can appeal to the CEO. That's referred to as a step two. And if they do not agree with the step two decision of the CEO, or in this case, my decision, then they can file a step three. And a step three goes to the grievance review committee. There are nine members of the grievance panel, plus a chairman, and the chairman of the grievance review committee can appoint between 3 and 5 of those members to hear a grievance. So that's a quick outline in a nutshell of the grievance process. In the case at hand, Colby Payne filed a grievance regarding the money he won at Sioux Falls or the Governor's Cup, counting for official world standings. After review, Director of Rodeo Administration denied that grievance, found that it was Colby's 76th rodeo. Unfortunately, there was some confusion regarding that, specifically the unofficial rodeo count is on the members' portal. Each member can look at their unofficial rodeo count. In bright red letters at the top of that members' portal, it does state that these are unaudited, unofficial, and subject to change. Unfortunately, that count was off by one rodeo, and so Colby, when he looked at the portal, thought that he only had 74 official rodeos.
So, Tom, just so I make sure I'm clear, on the first grievance with Colby, the Director of Rodeo Administration declined it, and then I assume you declined it, which sent it to the grievance committee, which is kind of the final say. Is that correct?
That's correct. So when it came to me, I did deny it. I did find that Sioux Falls was his 76th rodeo. There's essentially 3 rules involved in this. For those that are numbers, people like myself, Rule 1.7.2 is the official rodeo count, provides that you can only count 75 rodeos as official. R17.2.1 provides that rodeos are official entry unless you specifically enter them as unofficial rodeos, unless certain circumstances apply. And then bylaw 2.0.8 provides that if you rely on unaudited standings or your official rodeo count, that you do so at your own risk. I'm paraphrasing that rule, but essentially it says beware. If these are unaudited, you're using them at your own peril. So those are really the 3 rules that come into play in this matter. I did deny Colby's decision. He appealed that to the grievance committee. They did have a hearing, and following the initial hearing, did grant Colby's appeal in that matter. In the meantime, Tyler Worley did go through the 3-step process. He filed his grievance with Director of Rodeo Admin. It was denied. It was also presented to me as a step 2, which I denied based on the decision of the grievance committee in Colby Payne's case. I did set forth the facts that I thought that the grievance committee didn't get the decision right, that it was, in fact, Colby's 76th rodeo. He had already had official entry at 75 rodeos. And from there, Tyler appealed to the grievance committee.
So the last grievance then overrules the first ruling. Is that correct?
Not entirely. We did file a motion for the grievance committee to reconsider their decision in Colby Payne. And so there was a further hearing on that.
I see.
This morning. And as you're aware, they did reverse their decision. I think it shows maturity. Wish to compliment the grievance committee on the work they do. It's very important work, But I think it's a sign of maturity, responsibility, and growth to be able to re-examine your position in light of making sure that you make the right decision, not just standing that we made our decision.
Kendra, do you want to follow up?
Sure. So the bottom line here is that today's November 27th decision. A week ago today, Colby Payne was headed to the NFR. And as of today, because of this change in decision, Tyler Worley is now standing as the 15th place healer in the world. And well, we're up with Jake Clay at the NFR. My understanding is that today's decision stands as final, or is there an additional appeal process that could again overturn today?
Well, let me back up just a minute, if I may, Kendra, and say, you know, if we back up to a week ago yesterday, Tyler Worley was going to the NFR. And so I don't like the emotional roller coaster that each one of these individuals have been on. I don't know either one of them personally, but the way they both conducted themselves has been nothing short of professional. And you know, I have nothing but good things to say about both of them. They're both great ropers. They're both great people. And this decision is not about any individual. It's really about what does the rule book say. And, you know, the emotional roller coaster between Tyler finding out Monday that he was not in the NFR, Colby finding out he was in, and then that decision this morning putting Tyler back in the NFR has certainly been an emotional roller coaster that my heart goes out to both of them.
So I would love to ask two follow-up questions, if I may. One is today's November 27th decision final, or is there any additional allowance for further appeal in the grievance process or not?
I would like to say no. I'm not sure that it's always as straightforward as that, Kendra. I believe it to be final. The rule book says it's final, but you know, I don't know if there could be arbitration or other litigation. I can't speculate on that.
I have a secondary question that you may or may not be at liberty to answer, and that is, out on the street, it's pretty common knowledge that people in additional events have filed grievances who were 16th place finishers based on, hey, if I could count one more rodeo, I'd be in. My presumption would be that today's ruling, where Tyler Worley is going based on the fact that you can count 75 rodeos, basically makes those other grievances go away. Are you at liberty to confirm that? Or
I will say most likely, Kendra. They haven't made their way to my desk yet as a step two process, and I don't want to prejudge any of those potential grievances because I haven't seen them. I don't know what the facts are. And so I would say most likely it is persuasive on any potential grievances, but I don't want to foreclose that until I see what their arguments and facts may be presented. I don't want to prejudge it until I've actually seen them.
That's fair, and I appreciate it. And also, for so many people who probably do not know, for me, it's relevant that besides you being a former contestant and raising an NFR contestant, you are an attorney by trade and who has served long-term as a judge with a strong legal background. I'm just stating that as a matter of fact, it's not a question, but I think people out there who don't know that, fair enough to tell them that.
Well, that may be good or bad. I'm not sure which way that cuts, but I have practiced law for 35 plus years and been a municipal court judge, sat on the State Board of Equalization, and done a lot of administrative hearing work in both of my roles with the state of Wyoming.
I'm also very confident to say that no one would like to change trade drops with you.
Well, these are difficult times, and you know, as I said earlier, it's not about personalities or individuals. My allegiance is to the rule book, and you know, our rule book separates us from all other organizations, and so I believe strongly in it. And if we don't like what the rule book provides, there are mechanisms to change the rules. And so I think at the end of the day, we've just got to keep that in mind, that the rule book is our controlling law at the PRCA.
I'm very appreciative of that fact, because I believe in the rule book, and that goes all the way back to the Cowboys Turtles, you know, like the rule book has to be our go-to. So I appreciate that.
It's what our integrity of our association is based on.
So I'm not quite the journalist that the first lady of rodeo journalism is, but I have a couple questions. One is, in hindsight, Tom, looking back at this situation, are there things going forward that your group, that management would change to help alleviate this kind of thing happening in the future? Or is this really means that the Cowboys need to be professionals and keep track of their rodeos and reference the materials provided by the PRCA? Basically, is there anything that you've learned that you would do differently?
Yes, you know, I don't foresee it changing that the ultimate responsibility lies with the cowboy, but I don't like the fact that we had information on our website or on the member portal that was not 100% accurate. And so we have committed, and the board has committed to supporting updating our IT structure. And there's two possible scenarios here, and I don't know which one is correct, but we have created some convoluted situations for ourselves. If you think back to the Texas Circuit Finals, it just switched from being in Waco on New Year's Eve to the first weekend in October. And so you have to have 15 rules, participate in 15 rodeos to qualify for the circuit finals. So the circuit finals in Waco actually occurred in the 2023 year. And because your circuit finals can't be your 15th rodeo, it is a unofficial rodeo. It counts for circuit standings, but it doesn't count for a participation count on the 2022 circuit side of the equation. On the world standing side of the equation, it is an official entry rodeo, and it counts for world standing. So there is certainly room in our systems that a mistake was made in how that's configured between the 22 and 23 rodeo year. And the other possibility is everyone's well aware of, we had a IT breach. We got a ransomware notice. You know, most of our files were recovered, but our data was encrypted. There were some files that were not recovered. And I can't say for certain that there was not a encryption here that could have caused this error as well. I am comfortable that it's one of those two scenarios. So, you know, we have to be diligent to PRCA as well. I don't see personal responsibility changing from the contestants or the members, but I do want that information that we're giving them to be accurate as possible. Mm-hmm. That was a long-winded answer. I don't know if I answered your question, Tommy.
I think that's great. So, you know, we're so traditional in rodeo that we're often slow to react to some of the progressions. And it sounds like you're committing to put effort from the entire team, which I think you started a year ago, into improving that and getting this as dependable as it can be with a really, really big rule book. Is that fair to say?
It is. And it's a complicated rule book. And there's almost exceptions to every rule in the rule book. But, you know, I, as a leader, you have to accept that there will be mistakes, there will be human errors. But we have to learn from them human errors, and we can't continue to repeat those errors. And so I believe that there's a learning curve here. You know, we're not happy that the information was not as accurate as it could have been. That doesn't sit well with me either, even though the ultimate responsibility rests with the member.
Can I also say, it not only is your official rodeo count your responsibility, but very, very important that you know to the penny how much money you have won. That's on the cowboy too. I'll just say that as a parent, but to me, it falls along the same line of thinking that this is not a professional sport where there's a team taking care of your business for you. Cowboys have always been ultimately responsible for their own, keeping track of it and handling their own business. And that goes for your earnings also.
It certainly is a good point, Kendra. And the same rule that supports the official rodeo count, 2.0.7, also speaks of world standings and official money. So you're absolutely correct. And I will say that the rodeo cowboys and cowgirls are as a whole are some of the best auditors that I know, because they do know to the penny what they've got won.
And most of them can figure a payoff in about 30 seconds in their head when they know the added money and the number of entries. they really can. I don't care their level of education.
The only exception is if there's a few doctor's releases in there. Otherwise, they're very, very accurate.
Well, the cowboy, the unique part of our sport is this independence that we can't let go of. And that is this fierce independence. It's very similar to golfing, where the onus is on you. There's a lot more variables in rodeo, but it goes back to these guys doing their own business. And I have just one, my other random follow-up question is interesting to me. If you look at Roger Goodell with the NFL and you look at Adam Silver with the NBA, if you read much about those guys, they're not really well-liked, you know, because they have to make tough decisions. My question to you is, would you think that you're more liked or more disliked overall?
Oh, I'm not sure that's a fair question, Tommy. I will tell you that I work hard and I try and do my best. And you know, sometimes the decisions go against individuals, but sometimes they're for individuals. But I always try and come back to, the rule book is the controlling guideline, irregardless who that favors or disfavors. It has to be about the rule book, and if it causes people to view me in different light, so be it.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. We really appreciate you jumping on with us, helping us walk through this. So we appreciate you giving us some time. You know, listen, for me, the most credible part of this is that the CEO of the PRCA addressed this formally to membership. Hats off, Tom. Very much respect. He kind of looks like a passive guy, but what a stand-up thing to do. And, you know, in hindsight, and now Kendra, if you let's banter a little bit about this situation. You know, there's a couple things that I want to say, and then I'll kick it over to you. For Mr. Payne, this is probably the best thing that could have happened to him. He may not realize this now, but for Colby, had he got in rodeo, it's a brotherhood. And whether Colby knew, didn't know, you know, here's the deal. Being ignorant of the rules, if they pull me over and give me a ticket and say, you were going 60 in a 55 and I, the cop doesn't let me go, well, I didn't know that it was 55. It doesn't matter. It's on me to make sure that I know the rules and that I'm playing by the rules. It's not the police officer, the highway patrol's job to make sure. I mean, even sometimes the signs aren't posted. My point is, I think it's better for Mr. Payne here for this to have went down in the long run for him. Maybe a little disappointing, but from to get in under those circumstances with the situation that it was going to, this is a brotherhood. And I think the last thing you want to do, especially in team roping, the only team event we have is to get out of sync with the elite, right? To have any, to have them second guess you or your credibility. So I honestly believe, Kendra, in the end, this is probably better for Colby, even if he knows it or not, that this went down this way. And by the way, it's the right decision. It seemed like it was an obvious answer. I don't know why it went the way it went. We could rehash that, but that's old news. And the last thing I'll say, Kendra, and then I'll shut up, is, you know, there's one way to avoid all of this, and I still believe that it's keep it simple, stupid. Count all the money, right? You know, we've had all these discussions about X bulls counting, not counting, all this unofficial. I mean, the PRCA on that portal, it says it has a U by a rodeo that's unofficial and an O by an official and then an unprocessed, by the way. Unprocessed meaning it could count, which could have thrown a loop in this for someone looking at the portal. Why not just say all your money counts, Kendra? If you win more than anybody else in a calendar year, you should get to go to the big game. What's wrong with that?
Okay. So I have an opinion. Okay. So for one thing, in my opinion, the way we evolved to rodeo counts is because if you have no rodeo count, A, more guys will go broke trying to make the NFR. Profit margins are very, very hard to come by in this sport. Let's just call it like it is because it's true. Also, do we really want to evolve? Do we really want to evolve into the sport of the silver spoon? Because you will drive people, this cowboys, we are not a sport that's just going to be the rich kid sport. And so really, do we want to make it to where only rich kids can rodeo? I'm just saying this, the reason we got here is because the best guys in the world voted to get here. And let me also say the team ropers, the PRCA team ropers themselves are the ones who set the count at 75 rodeos. Okay. For 2023, by the way, in 2024, they have decided the team ropers themselves in charge of their own business have decided that the rodeo count for team roping in 2024 is going to be 80 because they want it to be the same as in the tie down and the steer wrestling. Okay. But the players themselves have set the number. Okay. So the Professional Rodeo Cowboys Association, which exists for the Cowboys going all the way back to the Turtles, the Cowboys themselves set this. Now, I've never met Colby Payne. Obviously, he ropes great. If you're in the top 30 in any event, you're talented. I'm sure he's a great kid. None of this and nobody's opinions on any of this has ever been personal for or against either Tyler Worley or Colby Payne. That's not the point. But also already filed were grievances from other people who finished 16th in the world this year saying, hey, if this event gets, if one guy in this event gets to add an extra rodeo to his earnings, well, then if I would have got an extra rodeo, I would have made it too. The dominoes were going to fall and nobody was going to win here. So to me, it is a presumption. And I think, you know, Tom confirmed that, look, his job, the PRCA's job, if you work for the PRCA, it is your job to uphold the rule book. If the rule book needs to be changed on anything, there's a process for that. But as it stands, the people who work at the PRCA are there to serve the members and uphold the rule book. Pretty straightforward. That's not an opinion. That is why they're there.
Well, I just think the most talented will succeed. I don't think money, I can't prove it, but I don't think money will necessarily get you to the NFR any more than it already does. The people that can buy the $500,000 horses and can fly and pay 20 drivers still have an advantage. So I don't know that legit argument.
But historically, it's a legitimate argument because we all know historically that there were people, you know, giving bottomless checkbooks who out-traveled everybody. And that's, you know, anyway, that's not for you or I to decide. Also, I have a very strong opinion that we should not penalize our superstars. What happened to Sage Kimsey and Casey Field this year is embarrassing. Cody Ohl Casey Field a few years ago won the world going to 20 rodeos. Man, more power to somebody who's that dominant. So to me, the minimum rodeo requirement is pure silliness that I can't imagine us wanting to do wrong to our most talented contestants. Why would we do that? I don't get that. I do understand the reason the cowboys themselves put limits on their rodeo counts, and it's a matter of profit margin.
It doesn't, they're not limiting their, no, that's not, I think you're incorrect, because the rodeo counts is what you count. I would agree with you if they said you can only go to 80 rodeos and let all these other people enter these other rodeos and give them a chance. But it's not, it's what rodeos you count. They can go to all the rodeos they want to, it's which ones they count, right?
Yes.
They can go to 120 rodeos.
Yeah, they can go to 120 rodeos. What's your point?
My point is, I think if you really wanted to put some teeth into it, I'd like to see them count and go to 80 rodeos.
The 80 rodeos.
Not be able to go.
The 80 rodeos is a level playing field, though. You can count your money from 80 rodeos. That's a level playing field that the cowboys themselves decided.
That's fine. I don't know. Here's the thing, from a fan's perspective, if you don't understand how this works, the simpler that we can help novice fans understand how this works, the better it is for our sport. It's so convoluted. If you started to hear the rule books from Tom, well, in R.9.C.Z.D. revision 33 of code 64, I agree that we should go by the rule book, but the rule book has stuff in it that contradicts itself. That's just the truth. And so regardless, but I do want to bring up something that I read that I do think really sums it up. And I think it's really good. So three-time world champion and Hall of Famer, more qualifications than anyone in the history, T. Woolman. He posted this, and I just think it really sums it up. And he posted, in my entire rodeo career, I knew how many, when I was up, what performance I was in, confirmation numbers, so I would know most of the rodeo guys check back and forth with the PRCA to know where they are in the stands. If there's any mistake, you can correct it before the end. This is the case, Colby. He must have checked, figured. He went to too many rodeos. Now he needs to man up and say, my bad, I went over. I don't get to go to the NFR. Good luck, everyone. And it's just accountability, right? We're an individualized sport. The PRCA assists them with keeping track, but you need to you need to know your business. If you're a professional and you want to get into the Super Bowl of rodeo, you better do your homework, keep your stats, know where you're at, and don't rely on anybody else for anything else. Because, by the way, the PRCA can't throw that heel loop. They can't do anything. Take possession of not only what you do in the arena, but out of the arena. Keep track of your business. So that's what I think.
I would like to read a two-sentence excerpt out of the story that the Team Roping posted of mine today, the Team Roping Journal. The fact that rodeo is not a professional team sport in which players' business is managed for them factored into this final decision by the grievance committee. Professional rodeo cowboys have always ultimately been required to keep track of and handle their own business, and that point stood today.
Preach. I agree with Tom. The emotional roller coaster that both of these guys were on, I feel sorry for both of them. However, for Worley, he did it the right way. He did it with 74. He deserves to be there. Here's the deal. The PRCA stood up. The right thing was done. And I'm glad that we're able to report that the facts were the facts. They did the right thing. The right people based on the rules will be there. So that makes me happy. That makes me real happy. Well, that's any final words. Otherwise, Greg, you have been kind of quiet. You got any control room thoughts on this at all?
You know, it's the right decision. Having, you know, letting someone get an extra rodeo because of a technicality, and basically that's what it is even the portal does say it's unofficial rodeo counts, right? And you know, I'm still learning about this industry and understanding how all the little quirks work and how everything gets figured out. So it's nice to see that, you know, there is some clarity, especially in the rule book, to tell people, you know, this is how it's got to work. And, you know, it's the right decision that we've come out with today.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Worley. I'm glad you're in. Mr. Payne, get a handful of number two pencils and probably document that. Final word, Kendra, for episode 8.
Just to say to every contestant, new, old, and the veterans know this, keep track of your rodeos, keep track of every dime. Every cowboy has a book, and your business is your own. You're an independent contractor.
I'm pretty sure that you pounded that into your boys' heads. So on behalf of Greg Teagarden and Kendra Santos, thank you for joining us for a long but very, very good episode 8. We will see all of you. Remember, we will be at 10:30 in the morning right beside the Coronado at the South Point Hotel. Thank you, Mr. Grownie and Mr. Gone, where we will be doing our No Spin Rodeo podcast. Do us a favor. Stop by. Say hello. Yep.
Isn't it 10?
What?
10.
10. 10 o'clock. Did I say 10:30? 10 o'clock. I stand corrected. I didn't even get the text. Nobody texted me that. 10 a.m. every morning. Repeat, 10 o'clock. You'll see our table. We'll sit. Please stop by. Say hello. We've got some really cheap gifts to give out. So don't expect anything really cool, but we will have something to give you. If it's a handshake or a cheap gift, we will be there for about 30 minutes doing our podcast. Please stop by. Come to the home of the Cowboys, the South Point. Join us for No Spin Rodeo, 10 days. This was episode 8. We'll see you in Vegas.